As I was looking forward in the lectionary, I noticed that over the next several weeks, the lectionary details readings from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. If you've been in Bible study with me here, you know that my favorite book of the New Testament is the letter of Paul to the Galatians. In it, we get an insight, a glimpse of the nature and the character of the apostle. We get a little bit of his history. We get a little bit of his self-confession of sin. We get a little bit of his arrogance, and we get a little bit of his brilliance. And so I thought I would take an opportunity to do something that I don't often do, and that's preach a series of sermons straight from the Bible. You may think, well, my gosh, that sounds like a Baptist. Well, guess what? It may very well be a little bit like a Baptist. Because I'm going to take Galatians and quite literally preach through it over the next month and a half. So let's begin at the beginning. Paul, an apostle. Apostle means sent one. It means someone who has been called by God and sent. That's what the word means, sent one. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. Paul begins his letters in a very formal style. He always does this. This is the from section in the email. This is from paul@apostle.com. This gives where this is coming from. If someone is reading this, they now know who is writing to them. And he already begins in this opening from line to say a little bit about himself in response to some of the things that were being said about him. As you read Paul, it's always a good thing to try to read between the lines to see what was going on, because these letters are conversations back and forth between Paul and his church. He's answering questions. He's answering charges. He's responding to things that people are saying to him and about him. And here we have the first response, the first thing he is saying in response to things that are being said about him. Sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. I wasn't sent by the Jerusalem authorities, in other words. We will find out that one of the charges that was being made against him was that he was sent by the Jerusalem authorities, and so those Jerusalem authorities are now countermanding something that he told the people of Galatia. And the people of Galatia should listen to them, the Jerusalem authorities, and not to Paul, because Paul is their emissary. And Paul is beginning his letter by saying, nuh-uh. I wasn't sent by Jerusalem. I wasn't sent by human authority, neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Paul is saying, I was sent by God. I was sent by Jesus. I was sent by the Creator of the universe, not by some human beings in Jerusalem. And it's not just me that's writing this. And all the members of God's family, the brothers and sisters, literally, or just the brothers in Greek, and all the members of God's family who are with me. So it's not just me. Paul says, it's not just me writing this. It's all of the other Christian believers here with me. We are writing this to you. That's the from line. Here's the to line. To churches@galatia.com. To the churches of Galatia. Now, Galatia was in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. It was a region kind of in the center portion of Asia Minor, a region where there were quite a few churches that Paul had founded in his missionary journey through the region. To the churches of Galatia, grace, unearned, unmerited favor to you, and peace, the end of againstness. God's not against you anymore. God is going to give you favor, and God is no longer against you. God loves you and gives you lavishly what you need, the favor that you desperately need. And you don't have to worry about God's judgment anymore. God has brought peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And some people say that verse 3 and 4 and 5 actually sort of are a thumbnail sketch of the entire gospel message. That Jesus comes to bring the end of againstness with God and the end of againstness between people. Jesus comes to bring God's love to all, and we are called to proclaim that love to all, that love that comes to us through Jesus from God. That's really the gospel right there. Wow. He continues, I am astonished. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one, that's Paul, who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is a different gospel or another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if even we, or an angel from heaven, should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we have proclaimed to you before, let that one be accursed. If you didn't catch it the first time, I'm going to say it again. As we have said before, so now I repeat. If anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. I'm amazed. You heard this good news. You heard this good message about the love of God, about the acceptance of God, about the grace and peace of God. You heard this wonderful message about how God has broken down the barriers between human beings and each other and between human beings and God, God's self. You have heard this glorious good news, and now you're turning away from this good news to a different gospel, which really isn't gospel itself. It's nothing but bad news. Even if I had preached this or an angel had preached this, it's false. Let anyone who proclaims this other gospel, this other message that you've heard, this message that runs contrary to the good news of the love and presence and acceptance of forgiveness of God, let that one be accursed. Or to translate it more directly and completely from Greek, let that one be damned. Yep, that's what he says. If they're going to preach a different message, a message of hate, a message of exclusion, a message of rejection, a message of division, if they're going to preach a message to these Gentiles that they can't be a part of the family of God unless they change, if they're going to preach this message to these Gentiles that they've got to become Jews in order to be Christians, because that's what was going on, if they're going to preach this message that to become a member of the family of God, you've got to do some good works to be saved, let that message and the one who proclaims it be accursed. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? He's just said, if you are hearing this good news, this gospel, and then are turning away, I want to know who is perverting you, who is bewitching you, who is leading you astray. Let that person, let that one, let those people be accursed. And I don't care if it's an angel. Let them be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? One of the things that he was accused of was preaching messages about the love of God and the acceptance of God and the forgiveness of God and the ability of people to come into the family of God without restrictions. And he was preaching that message in order to get human beings' approval. The approval of these Galatians. The approval of Gentiles. Aha! Paul didn't tell you about all the stuff you had to do, Gentiles, in order to become a member of the family of God, because he wanted your approval. Read between the lines here. So Paul's response to that is, am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And he's getting ready to explain that. He's getting ready to explain what he said. Look, if I were still trying to please people, I once tried to do that. God changed me from doing that. Now I'm trying to please God by proclaiming the love and acceptance of God for all. The love and acceptance of God for all, without restrictions, for all, without barriers, for all, God's grace and peace proclaimed. If I was still trying to please humans, I wouldn't even be proclaiming that message. I'd still be doing what I was doing before. What was that? For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. What I'm preaching to you doesn't come from the apostles in Jerusalem. What I'm preaching to you does not come from Peter and James and John, the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. No, what I'm preaching to you comes straight from Jesus himself. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. I was a good Jew. I was high ranking in my walk and life as a Jew. I was a young man, but I had been given high position because I was zealous for the faith of the Jewish people. And because I was so zealous for the faith, I persecuted the church. I was a persecutor of the early church. I wasn't a promoter of it. I sought to have members of the church arrested. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once to Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. I was persecuting the church, and we know this from the Acts of the Apostles. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem to stand trial for violations of the Hebrew code of conduct. Early Christians were almost entirely Jews. These Jews were engaging in practices that were violating the orders of the temple. He was going to arrest them and bring them back when Jesus encountered him on the road, knocked him off of his donkey, spoke to him, called to him, and transformed him. It wasn't so much a conversion as it was a calling. Yes, it was a conversion from hate and anger to love and acceptance. But more importantly, it was a calling to proclaim this gospel that he once persecuted and opposed. This gospel that he once fought against. He had human approval. He had the approval of the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people. And he was going with letters from the Sanhedrin to arrest Christians. If he was interested in human approval, in other words, he'd still be doing that, not proclaiming this gospel. But Jesus encountered him, converted him from hate to love, from rejection to acceptance, gave him this good news of the unrestricted love of God and called him to proclaim it to all. And instead of going to Jerusalem to learn about this message, he went to Arabia and was taught by God, taught by Christ Jesus himself. And then he went to Damascus to be with Christians there. Those Christians he was going to arrest. Then, after 3 years, 3 years after that event, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that's Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other people, any other apostle, except James, the brother of the Lord. And when I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. I went to Jerusalem, yes, 3 years later. I had already heard the gospel. I was already proclaiming the good news amongst the Christians in Damascus. I was already engaged in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not lying to you. It was 3 years later that I went to Jerusalem. And then I saw only Peter and James, the brother of the Lord. I didn't see the whole church. I went and met Peter, Cephas, Kepha. And I also met with James, the brother of the Lord. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Paul begins this letter by proclaiming grace and peace, unearned, unmerited favor, and the end of againstness with God. The very essence of the gospel message that he had been proclaiming, he proclaims at the beginning of his letter. He then says, my message, this message, comes from God. And I was sent not by Jerusalem, but by God to you. Let anyone who says and preaches anything other than the message of grace and peace, let anyone who preaches a message of exclusion, rejection, refusal to forgive, let anyone who preaches a message contrary to the gospel, contrary to the good news of the love of God, let that one be accursed. That message is not from God. It comes from the other one. Yes, I used to persecute the church. Yes, I used to persecute the church. And it was then that I had the approval of people. I'm not trying to garner the approval of anybody by preaching this message. I persecuted the church. Indeed, through this you can hear and know that one of the things that was being said about Paul was that you couldn't trust him. Precisely because he persecuted the church. You couldn't trust him. He used to arrest us and drag us before the Sanhedrin. He held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. You can't trust this man. He gets his message from Jerusalem and he's not telling you everything. And as a preview for next week, he's not telling you Gentile men that you've got to get circumcised. He's not telling you Gentile women that you've got to start cooking kosher. He's not telling you that you've got to wear clothing of only one kind of thread. He's not telling you that you have to abide by all of the regulations that define a Jew in order to be a Christian. And Paul says, nuh-uh. All of that is fine as cultural stuff for Jews. But for Gentiles, God doesn't demand that they become Jews. The family of God is far greater, far more open to all. You can have your own cultural practices and be a Christian. That's the message. You can be who God has called you to be and receive God's grace and love and acceptance and forgiveness and membership in the family of God as you are. All you have to do is hear and receive the good news. Next week we'll go into a story about the council in Jerusalem where it was agreed that Gentiles would not have to be circumcised and would not have to obey the dietary regulations. And then we'll have a funny story about how frightening it can be to go up against legalists in the church. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.